You're listening to Trek FM.
This episode of To The Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 150,000 titles for your tablet, smartphone, and desktop. Support the show and get a free audiobook of your choice by visiting audibletrial.com/trekfm.
Hi, this is Robert Duncan McNeil, also known as Tom Paris from Star Trek Voyager. You're listening to Trek FM.
Maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey.
To the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To The Journey.
To the journey!
I'm your co-host, Tristan Riddell, and with me, and who is back, is Charlene Schmidt.
Yes, I'm back. I had to go on a couple of away missions, take the Delta Flyer out for a spin here and there. I had to do a little vision quest, you know, just some personal time. Had to take care of some things, and I'm back now. It's good to be back.
I am definitely glad to have you back. We had our mutual friend and my always co-host and your sometimes co-host, Matt Hansen.
Yes, that was so cool that he came aboard and did a commentary with you for Message in a Bottle. I'm very sad that I had to miss it, but, you know, if anybody could come in and do a little bit of Voyager commentary, it would be him, because he also does a Voyager podcast. It's something he knows a little bit about.
He knows a little something, one or two things about Voyager, and we extend a great To The Journey thank you to Matt Hansen for filling in.
Very much.
That was last week, and let's talk about this week.
Yeah!
I mean, this week, I told the folks who were listening that it was a wee bit of a surprise, and I used those exact words, and I don't know why I said wee bit of a surprise. I said it like two times in the past podcast. But
are you channeling your inner Scotty?
I think I might be channeling my inner Fairhaven, since this is a To The Journey episode.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
But what we're doing is a create your own episode of the Mirror Universe that was created by Char and I.
That's right. We went in with the intent last time of creating an episode when we realized, no, we kind of need to stage this universe first.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure how this is going to go this time. Where are we going to have to do more staging before we can do another episode? Or are we going to get an episode done this time?
I think we're going to get an episode done this time. And just to do a quick recap for those of you who might not have heard our Mirror Universe episode, we, because we never got one for Voyager, we kind of crafted our own. And we crafted our own universe within the Mirror Universe. And so we are no longer on the USS Voyager. We're on the ISS Intrepid, which is a mix between a Intrepid-class starship and the Defiant-class. And you can actually go on our website and see what it looks like, because a good friend of the show, at GeekFilter on Twitter.
Yeah, Aaron Harvey.
He designed it for us, and it looks fantastic.
He did such a good job.
This crew, which is a part of the Terrans, since there is no Federation, was pulled into the Delta Quadrant the same way that the Voyager crew was, by the caretaker. Janeway is this hot-headed, maniacal person who just wants revenge against the Cardassians and the Klingons, and will get her crew home at any cost, because they have the best warship that was ever built, specifically to defend the new Terran Empire. And Chakotay was put on the ship to keep Janeway in check, because she might sacrifice herself and her ship to get the mission done. Harry Kim, a direct descendant of Hoshi Sato. Empress Hoshi Sato, and he believes that everything is owed to him, so he's one of the truly evil ones. Tuvok is pretty much the same.
Because he's Tuvok.
Because he's Tuvok. But the only difference with Tuvok is that he raised B'Elanna Tora as the half-human, half-Klingon hybrid, because her mother was in a high level of government. And she had an affair with a human, and so she had to give the baby up. And I think we said that her dad died or something like that.
Something like that. He's not around.
Something like that. And so, and as we know, Tuvok is a great deal older than everybody else. And so he raised B'Elanna, and she's on the ship with them. And everybody knows that the Terrans hate aliens in the Mirror Universe, so she has kind of a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
Tom is pretty much the same, except he's much more like his Marseille character in Maybe not Marseille character. No, we didn't say that. We didn't say that.
It was the non-sequitur, right?
Yeah, yes, that's right. That's right. It was non-sequitur. So Paris is much more like his character on non-sequitur. He's a drunk. He's a loser, but he's the best pilot you could ever have, even while drunk.
Right.
And Neelix and Kes... Neelix and Kes are on the ship, but they were kind of guilted into it because Neelix is kind of the Janeway blames Neelix for them being stranded in the Delta Quadrant. He forced their hand against the Kazons.
Yes, so they're indentured servants.
And I think that's where we're at, right? Are we? Oh, that's right. The dock.
Oh, yes, the dock.
The dock is still a hologram, but it's a hologram that they stole from the Cardassian alliance with the Klingons. And so the dock is a Cardassian medical hologram.
Right. But it's still Robert Picardo, just in the Cardassian makeup. We'll all know
that's
it's
right.
him. Yes.
Yeah. We all know it's him and we all know who it is. And his morals are a little bit looser.
Yes.
Because he's a Cardassian doctor.
That's right. So, yes, I believe that's where we're at. And now we can actually craft an episode in the Mirror Universe. And I think I have a good idea for like a time frame that we can work with, because a lot of people in the Babel conference on our Trek FM group on Facebook mentioned, what are you guys going to do about the 37s and the events that happened in that episode? And how do you think that would have gone down in the Mirror Universe? I think that would be an incredibly awesome time frame to work with. What do you think?
I'd say it's as good as any. I mean, because just as a reminder to the fans, when we create our own episode, we do not think about them beforehand. We do not talk about them beforehand. We don't develop any storyline ideas or anything like that. So we're talking about like the beginning of season two.
Right. Yes. And we're doing this just because I had zero time to prepare. So anything we would have done would have been on the fly. And it just so happens that this is very conducive to that. So yay.
All right. So we're bringing out the proverbial whiteboard.
Yeah.
Erasing what we did before. And then boom, episode starts now. Okay. So we're at the beginning of season two. This is the era of the 37s, just so people understand where we are.
Right.
Okay. So I always like to start off on not so much what the episode's going to be about, but who we're going to focus on, because every episode has a lead, has a person that it's that is at the forefront in the center of the episode. So last episode, last Create Your Own episode, it was a Chakotay episode. So who should we do today?
I'm thinking we ought to work on Harry.
Ooh.
Because I see this as a golden opportunity for his first, I would say, attempt at maybe creating his own little empire.
Okay. All right. So, okay. So it's a Harry episode. And as we know, this Harry Kim is very different from the Harry Kim that we know from Voyager. He's got long hair, goatee.
Yes.
And and he's bent on universal domination.
Yes. And he feels so entitled to rule, to be the ruler of his own little empire, that to have a planet full of humanoid people who worship the 37s as it is, well,
So you want to make this about the 37s, not just set in the 37 era.
Right. No, I'm thinking the 37s planet. Like, we're rewriting this episode in a way to accommodate the Mirror Universe.
All right. So we start off the episode. Let's just, instead of like, normally when you write an episode, you find the major plot that you want to do, you find the character you want to focus on, and then you kind of write an outline around that. But for the sake of our listeners, let's start at the beginning and just kind of work our way through.
Sure. Okay.
Okay, so they're in the ISS Intrepid, and I say they're having a staff meeting.
Okay. As Dork Trek would say, staff meeting.
Staff meeting. And so, you know, Janeway has the senior staff around, and just the cameras on Ensign Kim, who is still an ensign.
Still an ensign, even in the Mirror Universe.
Even in the Mirror Universe. And, like, you know, whether they have, like, their own kind of ranking system, whatever it is, whether it's lieutenant, captain, whatever,
you know what it is.
Harry is still at the bottom.
You know what it is? They've got different pips.
Mm. Okay, so we have ISS pips here. We got Terran Empire pips here.
Yeah.
But so the camera is on Harry, and he's just stewing there. He's just looking left and right. We hear a lot of shouting around him that's going on off camera. And so he's just looking left and right, shifty eyes. Maybe he's doing the Mr. Burns excellent, where his hands are in front of his,
oh, definitely,
front of his face, you know, something like that. Janeway screaming, Chakotay screaming, Paris is sipping on the bottle.
Yeah, we see him just slowly unscrewing the cap for whatever he's got in front of him, pouring a little more into his cup and just watching it as if it's entertainment. Here they go again. Glug, glug, glug.
What are they screaming about? What are they arguing about?
That's a really good question. What would Janeway and Chakotay be fighting about today?
In front of everybody else.
Yeah, in front of everybody else, no less. Whew, what kind of a problem could they be having? Well, okay, this is early Voyager days. This could be about resources.
Okay, all right, resources. That's good.
So maybe they're trying to find some way to conserve energy, or maybe it's about something where, I don't know, maybe something happened in the aeroponics bay, and now they're suddenly having to rely more on replicator rations, which is going to tax the ship more, meaning there's going to have to be some sort of a trade-off of using resources, and maybe they're fighting about what gets cut.
Well, there is no aeroponics bay yet.
Really?
That we know of, yeah.
Are you sure?
Because Kes invented the aeroponics bay.
Right, so why wouldn't she by now? Because didn't she have that done in season one?
Well, there is no history here unless the history that we make.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I'm kind of forgetting.
So, like, we could say that, but I like your resources idea, and I like that something happened.
Ooh,
so,
okay.
What if they're arguing over on what replicator rations are, like, who gets the most, or something like that, or like
Or they could be fighting about whether or not they should start the aeroponics bay. You know, is it worth using that space, or could we be doing something better with it?
I kind of want something with a little bit more teeth. For some reason, like starting a garden just doesn't scream mirror universe to me.
Starting a garden doesn't have teeth. unless you're doing piranha plants or something. But
there you go. Yeah.
I don't think they're going to be growing those.
I think just a general shouting match on resources, I think, is good. And maybe it's where they're like, okay, well, you know, what are we going to do? Like, let's say, like, the lower members of on the lower decks, you know, they get, they only get two meals a day, you know, or something like that.
Whereas Janeway can go to the replicator and get coffee wherever she wants, and Chakotay doesn't think that's fair.
Yeah, she can get coffee whenever she wants, and so people are screaming at her saying that the top is getting too fat, and that the tightening of the belts need to stop with the fat cats or something like that. You know,
you 1%ers, how dare you? And as the rest of us go hungry, yes.
Ooh, I kind of like that. What if there is that stratification on the ship?
Yeah.
Sure, you have rank and everything like that, but you know, it's not a formal federation or anything like that. So, what if there is certain things about classism, about like where you came from, or like how long you were a slave, or
just even your position on the ship. You know, the more authority you have, the more perks you get and that sort of thing. If you're a lowly crewman, you're nothing. You're cleaning the plasma conduits and you're going to like it.
Yeah. And I mean, that kind of thing exists on a normal Federation ship to begin with. But I think on our ship, it's just like to the nth degree.
Right.
Where like the captain, commander and everything like that have access to replicator rations, can like have time off and days off and everything like that. But the people, once you get lower and lower, it basically just turns into slaves underneath.
Right. Ooh. Yeah.
And, you know, like these people at the bottom are like, we escaped. You know, like we're no longer under the boot of the Klingons and the Cardassians. Why are you treating us like slaves? And then Janeway's like, well, the reason why is because we got to get home. And this is what we know. And the best way to get home is under a rigid structure or something like
right,
that.
Right. Yeah. We need this structure to keep the ship running. And yes, yeah, sorry if you don't like it, but this is the way it is. And the only person who's on the poor people's side, you know, that's the peons running the ship is Chakotay, who's standing up to her and saying, hey, look, no, you should at least give them 3 squares a day. Come on.
Oh, and maybe this is what could open us up to the 37s, where it's not just resources like replicator rations and deuterium and stuff like that that they're running low on, but they're running low on people. They're running low on people who can run the ship, and then that would open up the 37 storyline.
Okay.
Where all of a sudden they find a planet, like they hate aliens.
Right.
But all of a sudden they find a planet that's filled with humans.
Right. So theoretically, you could get some of these people, kidnap them, bringing them on the ship, and make them basically more slaves.
Okay, so let's move on. Where like we established in that opening scene that like resources are short or low, and then all of a sudden we hear the beep 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 beep. You know, like please come to the bridge. Blah blah blah. Uh-huh. and they find that they find the rust, you know,
the rusty truck. Is it still there?
They find the rusty truck, and that leads them to the planet of the 37s. They do the whole thing where they land, but it's a little bit easier to land this ship because it's a little bit smaller than the Intrepid class. And so they go through the whole motions, and they find Amelia Earhart, but they only unfreeze her.
Okay, so the other guys are not happening.
Yeah, the other guys are not happening. Like, they're like, no, we want to be able to control this situation, and so they only unfreeze Amelia. So how does that interaction go down between Amelia and this new crew? Like, who's there? Who goes on the away team?
Oh, I imagine it's Janeway. She's got to. I think the bigger question is Janeway going to be BFFs with Amelia Earhart like she was in the actual episode we saw?
Well, I think that's what comes next.
Right, yeah. No, I think Janeway's there. Tuvok is probably there for security purposes. Maybe one more person. I'm not sure. Probably Harry. If we're going to make this a Harry-centric episode, he should probably be there for the reveal.
There you go.
Okay, done.
Okay, so Harry's there for the reveal, and they unfreeze Amelia. They try to figure out what's going on. She has no idea what's going on.
Right.
They start to unfreeze they unfreeze one person at a time.
Okay.
The person doesn't know what's going on. And so I say that they put them back in the freezer. Because they're like, well, you're useless to us. And so they put him back in the freezer.
Okay.
But they keep Amelia Earhart because she's a figure, a historical figure.
Right. They know who she is.
And so they take her back to they take her out of the cave. Then the people start attacking, just like in the episode. But.
Yeah. What are you doing with Amelia Earhart?
Exactly. But when Janeway gets the upper hand, she just kills them, except one person.
Okay.
She just slaughters the people. So, like, you know, like in the 37s that we know, nobody got hurt. No, I mean, nobody got killed. I mean, the other guy got shot. And so Janeway takes one person hostage and says, like, okay, where'd you come from? And then take us to your city.
The wonderful cities that we never see.
The cities that we never see, yeah.
I'll never get over that. So, okay, so essentially we have two hostages then. We have Amelia Earhart and we have the other person whom they've not shot because they want answers, and you're going
right.
to tell us what's going on or not. So is this where they find out then that Amelia Earhart is considered one of the 37s? Are we going to keep that kind of a...
Well, now I'm starting to wonder about, like, since this was a Harry-centric episode, maybe Harry is the one who goes ballistic on these people. Or actually, no, like, Harry doesn't go ballistic. Like, so, like, Janeway's the crazy shoot first one, and then Harry is evil, but we haven't made him stupid or anything like that. So
no.
He knows that in order to have an empire, you have to have people.
Right.
And if he could, like, he's thinking about, like, okay, so if we have an entire planet filled with humans, which we don't know yet, he would think, like, okay, well, how can I rule these people, or how can I get these people to be on my side?
Yeah. Ooh, maybe it's Harry who tells Jamie, no, stop shooting. We need to find out what's going on here. Why are there humanoids on this planet? Because he's already thinking, oh, we can totally control these people. Yeah, okay, that's what happens. Harry stops Janeway from shooting them all, just, you know, massacring and then getting the heck out of there. And so then prisoner time, basically interrogation going on. Who are you? What's going on? We learn about what this planet's about and blah, 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 the 37s. And I would say, meanwhile, Harry is plotting already.
I think they weren't able to detect the city because I think the people put like a block on it or like...
There was something, where it didn't show up on sensors.
Let's say that we did mention in the previous episode that they had one little shuttle. I say we have Harry and the hostage go in the little shuttle and scout and try to figure out where the city is.
Okay, and so what's Janeway doing?
Janeway and Amelia Earhart are getting to know each other.
Okay, why are they doing that?
Why are they doing what?
Well, why are they splitting up? Why is Janeway letting Harry take the prisoner?
Well, so that we can have an A plot and a B plot going on. So we can have, instead of just one single thing going on.
Okay, no, I'm just trying to logic it. You know, why did Janeway delegate that and all that?
So why did Janeway tell Harry to go? Because
Harry
was the one who... Like, she's like, okay, well, if you don't want me to kill everybody, then fine, it's your responsibility to find out where he came from.
okay, that's fair. And then, you know, he's confident. He's like, yeah, sure, I've got this.
Right. So he says, I got this. And so we're in the shuttle and Harry is trying to convince him, saying like, listen, you know, like the sooner that you let me know where your colony is, the sooner I can give them back to you, or I give you back to them.
Mm-hmm.
The guy's not talking. So does Harry do drastic things with him?
No, I don't think so. I think he plays it really sweet at first and tries to go the nice route and befriend him and try to get him to feel comfortable so that he can get more information out of him that way. To establish some real trust. Like, hey, no, I'm the good guy here. She was the crazy one. Mm-hmm. But really, this is all a plot for him to do his work later.
I like that. I like that. And so now we cut back to Janeway and Amelia Earhart. So what is the dynamic of their relationship there? Like, what is the purpose of having Amelia Earhart on the... Because in this world, you know, like, Janeway would have any access to any records of history to figure out, like, what was going on with Amelia Earhart.
So then why do they even know who she is then?
So as we know, Amelia Earhart was disappeared in 1937, okay? So that's why it's called the 37s. But she was declared dead in 39 because dead in absentia because they couldn't find her. So what if in this mirror universe, and I'm not trying to, you know, like hurt a historical figure, I mean, or anything like that, but what if there was some sort of alien interest in Earth and Amelia Earhart was the cause, whether it was on purpose or not on purpose, of the Axis taking over the world and winning World War II.
Wow.
Like, because she was declared dead in 39, World War II started in 39, and as far back as we know with the mirror universe, that's when everything went wrong. That's when everything went crazy.
Right, because the Nazis won.
Because the Nazis won, so that's how it's different from ours. So what if that's the crux of it, and Janeway somehow figures that out? She's like, okay, like, wow, so you were brought here in 37... But, like, maybe you really weren't brought here in 37. Maybe you were in league with the people who were trying to find slaves for their planet. And in order to save her own ass, she said, like, okay, well, I can help you find... There was rumblings of World War II during this time anyway.
Sure, yeah. These things don't just happen overnight. Yeah.
And so the alien race is like, well, it would be a heck of a lot easier to find slaves on Earth if there were evildoers in power instead of the allied
forces. Yeah.
And so she somehow
so
let them know who to side with and who to help.
Ooh, yeah, maybe she put on a good front where maybe publicly it looked like she was siding with the quote-unquote good guys, meaning us, the Americans, but really she's working for the bad guys, the Nazis, and helping them take over.
And so the aliens would have an easier time, in which we kind of already saw that in an Enterprise episode where there were aliens working with the Nazis.
Right. Yeah.
What if we combine those two things, and like Amelia Earhart thought it was going to save her own ass by allying with these aliens and helping out the Nazis, but then it turned on her. Actually, I don't like making Amelia Earhart the bad guy.
Really?
It feels wrong to me. Like, what if
but
she...
But this is the mirror universe.
I know, but I don't like it because she's a historical figure and she was a good person according to history, you know?
This is nothing against her personally at all.
Okay, so what if she did it inadvertently where she was, like, she was forced to do something? Let's make it vague because I feel like we're going in a million different directions, but...
Well, it's all speculation.
It's all speculation. So, like, somehow she was trying to do the right thing, but she inadvertently did the wrong thing.
Okay, then that keeps her the good guy.
That keeps her the good guy, but she was still the cause of it.
Right.
And she was the, like, and so these aliens helped out the Nazis win the war, and then the Nazis were like, well, screw you.
Yeah, we'll finish from here.
Yeah, we'll finish from here. Like, we're not going to give you, the slaves that we could use.
Right.
And they, like, somehow they banished the... Somehow they won against the aliens. And then the aliens left and then blamed Amelia Earhart somehow and took her. And then froze her. And Janeway somehow finds this out with the historical records. Because when she sees Amelia Earhart, she does her research.
Uh-huh.
And then she finds this out. And because they're, for some reason, because it's Cardassian and Klingon records, they were able to track everything back once they took over Earth. And so they found out this information about this secret plot. And so Janeway's just enraged because she's like, the history of our world could have been so different if the Nazis didn't win the war. And she puts all of that blame on Amelia Earhart.
Okay, so what is she going to do to Amelia Earhart now?
Yeah, that's and then we cut to Harry and the other guy.
Of course. Tension. Suspense.
Back to Harry and the other guy. So they build some trust.
Yeah, they're having a conversation at this point. Harry's learning about this planet and the people and essentially, you know, they had kind of probably a similar evolution as humanity did, maybe. They have wonderful cities. They're glorious.
Filled with artists and...
Yeah. Artists and scientists and...
There we go. Yeah, that's what it is. Scientists and artists.
Oh, beautiful people, just prospering nation. And that's, of course, Harry sees such an opportunity here because they're so gullible, you know? Mm-hmm. They have good lives and they're so ripe for the taking.
Maybe Harry tells him, he's like, you know what? Like, Earth is paradise right now, you know, and we're going back there.
Yeah, and you can come with us. You can help us get home.
You can join your race again. You can be a part of a global community.
And it could be the adventure of a lifetime. Could you imagine just streaking through space with us? Oh, what an adventure.
You know what? All we need is like 50 people who are willing to go on this adventure, you know, like and as equals.
Yeah, but he's really just trying to recruit slaves so that, maybe some friends of his no longer have to clean the plasma conduits and can maybe help him with a little bit more of his plan to take over the whole freaking universe.
Yes, okay, yes, that's his plan. That's his overall plan, is that he tries to trick many people on the colony to come onto the Intrepid. He gets in good with Janeway, but he also gets in good with the lower deck people.
Mm-hmm.
And the more people
building
that he
support.
Gets in good with... He builds support, and so that someday down the road, he can take over the ship.
He can
have a coup. But he knows that coup is not today.
Right, yeah, no, I mean, any kind of empire takes a long time to build.
Rome was not built in a day.
Right, exactly. Which is why he won't try to take over the planet like I was initially thinking, because that was discussed in the Babel Conference, but that's too big for his shoes right now, and I think he knows it. He's got a little bit of Frank Underwood in him. He knows he's got to work slowly, but be incredibly calculating at the same time.
Ooh, I like that. Ooh,
and I just knocked
chills.
On the desk like Frank Underwood does.
Oh, wait, I got my ring. There we
go. Hey, yes, perfect. Okay.
Okay, all right, so that's how it is. And so he gets in good with him, and he totally lies to him, and he finds the colony... And the guy's like, yeah, no, like we, like he says, he's like, yeah, we have a great prosperous society, but we've plateaued. We need to expand. We need to go out. And we're like, we long for our ancestral roots. And like, we're so happy that you came along. But the guy is like, but that Janeway seems kind of crazy. She killed my folk, you know?
Right. Yeah. That's not forgotten.
So how do we remedy that?
Well, because Harry is going to protect them. He's like, I will take you under my wing. I will protect you from this megalomaniac crazy lady. And don't you worry about her. Things are going to change and it's going to be fine. Just trust me.
Or what if I like that, but what if he says we can take over the ship together?
Okay, so he's going to be a little more forward about it than.
Well, no, like it's another lie. You know, it's another lie of saying like,
okay.
You know, like where like the audience goes, well, yeah, that would make sense. I mean, like all Harry wants is to take over the ship. Why wouldn't he do that with these 50 people?
Sure, okay.
And then so like he tells him, he's like, listen, like we can take over the ship. We can go back home, you know, find the ancestral roots of your people. This is a warp capable ship. We'll get there in no time. And so and the audience is like, oh, yeah, this is his moment. This is Harry's moment to take over the ship.
Okay, I like it.
Once he gets there with these people, Janeway thinks that as well. But then he goes, he's like, hey, Captain, I just brought you a new, you know, labor force. And all of them are like, what?
Yeah. Say hello to your new slaves.
Exactly. And so it's a switch to the audience. It's a switch to Janeway. And then we realize that he does exactly what you said. He's playing the long con. He knows that this takes time. He said, mm-hmm. he's like, He's like, I could take over the ship with this slave labor, but then they don't know how to run the ship, and so I need the support of the original crew in order to run this ship.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't have that yet. And so that's why he tricked those people, and that's why he's not trying to take over the ship just yet.
Yeah, yeah.
But somehow he needs to leave some sort of control behind, where like Harry still has his fingers on the strings in this 37 world.
Hmm, okay. What could that be? Because really, once they figure out that this whole thing was like kind of like an ambush, or do they?
Well, I guess, okay, maybe we don't need to do that. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he doesn't need to control that world. He just needs those people.
It's just those 50 people. Well, I mean, you know what? In the future, maybe somebody from this planet starts to go after him. And like, once they figure it out, like, you took our people and we figured out that this isn't the adventure of a lifetime. This is servitude.
Well, wait, what would the advantage to that be?
I don't know. I didn't go that far.
Let's do that. Okay, so he brings over the people, but before he brings over the people and does the whole, you know, switcheroo that we talked about, we cut back where he finds the 50 people, so they all agree and they're like, okay, here are some of our best people, you know, like to, you know, so that we can kind of create commerce between our two worlds, where like maybe Kim is totally lying about how close Earth actually is, because how would they know?
Yes. Yes. And so they're going to be kind of like, you know, communicating two ways here. You take some of your people and then maybe some people from Earth will eventually come over here. It'll be an exchange program. And that way it's a lot more equal. And
they don't know that it's 75,000 light years away.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They think it's like what? Maybe 5 years? Just long enough to make it a really...
But something along those lines. Yeah. Like not 75 years, like 5 years. Or
yeah. Something
or
a little more bearable. Like yeah, that. It's going to be a long trip, but it would be doable in this century where space travel is... you know, a very commonplace thing.
Exactly. And so he gets those people and then we're back on the ship. Janeway just does cold-blooded murder to Amelia Earhart, where Earhart is pleading, saying like, listen, it wasn't my fault. I did what I could. I didn't know what I was doing at the time. I was tricked. You know, like she's just pleading with her and saying all these things. And maybe she comes up with the idea of saying like, if you take me back, you know, like I was a historical figure. If you take me back, maybe we could help unite the people once more together. And Janeway's like, nothing is going to make up for what you did to my history or to my world. And then she just...
brutal murder. Oh, that's so harsh, man.
Right in the ready room.
Oh, God. Man, you're cruel, man. But I like that how it's Amelia's plead, like her very last plea for life.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, she's going out a hero, as we all have it of her in our heads. So that stays congruent, even though it's the mirror universe. And so Janeway, she's just so incredibly angry that she kills her. Then what? I mean, say, do the people on the planet find out about this? Are they angry?
I don't think the people on the planet find out.
No?
I think that once, like, we have Janeway kill Amelia and then... we get a hail from Kim. They meet on the on the ground. You know, like the ship is still landed.
Okay.
So like Voyager comes with her force. Harry Kim comes with his force, and everybody thinks that there's going to be a battle. Everyone thinks that they're going to take over the ship, but then they kind of have that moment, like in Braveheart, where they start going at each other, and like where like Kim comes up to Janeway. And they're not fighting, and the people behind them are like, wait, what's going on? I thought we were going
to
take over the ship. And that's the ambush. And so Janeway unleashes her people.
To capture Kim's people.
To capture Kim's people, and Kim goes along with it, like we described earlier. And so now they have a lower deck force, where the lower deck officers are now bumped up a little bit.
And so now those people are indebted to Harry. For making it so, as Jean-Luc Picard would say.
Exactly.
And
exactly
so
right.
That's how he recruits those people onto his side to gain support.
Mm-hmm.
And thus, his arc is starting to roll now.
And there is the end of the episode.
Boy, that's messed up.
But there we go. We, in this episode of To the Journey, we found a way that... Amelia Earhart was the cause of the downfall of the Americans in World War II.
Dang! You know what? That is brilliant of you.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yes, yes. That was all you. That's massive props.
Well, we had, like, for the people at home who are probably shaking their heads like, what are they talking about? They didn't talk about exact on how it would work.
No.
Well, yes, we have a lot of loose ends, people. Hopefully you enjoy the concept, and it was very broad strokes with the brush. And it was like during that 37-39 time, during that 2-year time, she was working with the aliens or whatever, but we don't know exactly how it happened. We don't have specifics, we just have broad strokes. So hopefully you'll forgive us on TTJ and just say like, oh, that's an interesting concept.
Yeah, remember, we're making this up on the fly. And so, you know, no story is created just with everything in place right as you go along. I mean, if we were to actually fill this out with every little detail and then write the script, that would take, you know, a very...
that would take some time.
Yeah, just as it does in real life. But I would say in, what, the 40-ish minutes here that we've done... we have a story idea to work with.
Mm-hmm.
So there we go. All right. Well, the Mirror Universe and the 37s aren't the only thing that we've been talking about on Trek FM this week. And so here's a little glimpse at what else is happening on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
Set this movie at the end of the 5-year mission. Skip ahead 5 years, you know, kind of like Dark Knight or whatever. And then say, okay, we've had all these adventures, blah, 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 blah. And now we're at the end. We're about to go home, you know, and it's been, a fun time was had by all.
Earl Grey.
Again, you know, because it's January, my ship was shot beyond the bounds of normal interstellar travel to the center of the galaxy. But we were back in time for tea.
The Orb.
They're not even thinking about it at this point. Okay, start the resistance? Yeah, yeah, yeah. How do we do all this?
Yeah.
Because they have become comfortable with where they are and thinking that they're doing all they can. And yet we know, as the audience, that they're not.
To the journey!
I want you to say right now in front of our friends, okay? And in front of me and the Lord Almighty, what is your favorite season?
Okay, this isn't the favorite season.
I want you to tell me what your favorite season is.
Daniel and Darren, promise we won't ever be like this.
The Ready Room.
So what's the deal? You know, does Tom have a dad we don't know about?
Apparently.
Because who was this guy that he was remembering as his dad?
Was that Nick Locarno's dad?
That was Nick Locarno's dad, yes.
Commentary, Trek Stars.
But I mean, here's the question, John. If you're living Fight Club, then, you know, we have to ask. If you could fight anyone, who would you fight?
William Shatner.
All right.
Literary Treks.
The main storyline here is the battle for the Vulcan soul. They are one of the most logical races, and yet they have an intensely spiritual aspect to them.
Axanar, the official podcast.
You were there. How long did we wait for them to try and reach that footage?
Oh, man, it was at least as long as the Enterprise penetrating V'ger's outer shield to getting into the actual machine core.
The 602 Club.
So as far as the realism question is concerned, whether or not it's the right thing to do, it's the Marvel way to do it. I mean, I think that's the defining difference between Marvel and DC.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out all of our shows. They are available on pretty much every platform where you can get your podcasts these days. None of them are possible without the help of our sponsor, so let's hear a little bit about that.
Our sponsor for the show is Audible.com. Audible is a great way for you to read all the books you've always wanted to, but never thought you had the time for. Audible is the premier source for audiobooks with more than 150,000 titles to choose from, and new titles coming every week. From classics to current bestsellers, Audible has something for everyone. You'll be happy to hear that both Mosaic and Pathways are available from Audible. As a Trek.fm listener, you can get a free audiobook of your choice along with a 30-day trial to see just how great Audible is. Just go to audibletrial.com/trekfm and sign up today. Again, that's audibletrial.com/trekfm, and we thank you and Audible for supporting To the Journey and Trek.fm.
Now, before we go, we have some iTunes reviews and some people to thank. So, EVR33, Mara Tyler Moore, I love that username, and Kevin Ginn, thank you to all three of you for not only leaving us a 5-star rating in the US iTunes store, But to each of you for writing short reviews, that helps us out immensely with the iTunes rankings and search results. That helps other people find the podcast. We thank you for doing that very much. And for those of you who haven't done it yourself, you know what to do. Help us get to 100 ratings and write us a review too, and we will thank you on the show just like we did for these fine folks. So, one other order of business before we close up for this episode, and that is we want to thank our associate producers, Kenneth Tripp and Jamie Deuce. They support the network via patreon.com/trekfm. They are monthly subscribers. And if you have not checked this out, this helps us immensely. This is what keeps the network running. You can subscribe and donate pretty much any level of contribution that you can think of. And there's perks in it for you. And we thank everybody very much, but especially our associate producers for helping out TTJ and the network at large. Now, this has been a lot of fun, but I'm even more excited for next week. What are we doing?
Next week is, you know, we love our list shows, and we're actually in the middle of a list where we're doing our top five moments of seasons, but we're going to diverge from that a little bit, continue with the top five theme, but go towards relationships instead of overall moments within a show. And so we're doing our top five relationship moments between, you guessed it, Janeway and Chakotay.
At last!
It's been a long time coming, and you guys, I know some of you love it, some of you hate it, but both Shar and I are huge shippers of Janeway and Chakotay. And so this, if that's all this next episode is going to be
right.
about. So, folks, I hope you like it.
Yeah, we're going to do it with enthusiasm. So even if you aren't a big Janeway and Chakotay fan, we hope you'll still tune in and see what we come up with and why we choose what we choose. Maybe we can convert you after all.
Maybe we can do some convincing, but you'll have to tune in next week to find out. Until then, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!